best.
God, there's my ear.
Okay.
Better than I ever been.
We're hot. Let's
this
go.
This is going.
This right. is
go for
the
it.
Mic's going.
Welcome to the point after.
That's right. Here we are, week two. Welcome to the Point After Show. I'm Kyle Maurer, joined today by my co-host Marshall Heslaw.
Oh yeah,
and Ian DeWitt.
What up, baby?
This is the show where each of us picks the winners of every NFL game every single week to see who ends up with the best predictions record at the end of this 17-game season, while also engaging in some healthy debates about current topics across the league. Let's start with the important stuff, you guys. The hardest thing to pick, harder than the Super Bowl winner, the MVP, your favorite Hamilton song.
What's the one, and I'm Peggy, or Penny.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And Peggy.
And Peggy.
Skylar Sisters. Banger.
Skylar Sisters.
That's true. I got to see Hamilton live. I just wanted everybody to know last week. And it was unbelievable.
Phenomenal. It's a phenomenal
musical.
Shout out
to you.
It was so cool. And you guys are my Hamilton friends. I don't know that actually that many people locally.
It's a great crossover of NFL and Hamilton friends. It's not happening, I feel like, a lot. Maybe is it? Is it more than I think?
I know. I think it's really special.
It
you guys are really
like
special.
We should actually start another podcast just for Hamilton.
Great idea.
The Hamilton after.
The Hamilton.
I'm definitely a big fan of Dear Theodosia. Come on.
That's great. That's great.
Just love I change the songs to the words from Philip to Patrick.
Yes.
And instead of son, it's
God's
my
son.
God, son.
Oh, yes. You're so clever. You're
Isn't
so clever.
Great?
Thank you.
I do like Washington's on your side.
That's a great one. That's a
Washington
one.
Football team's on your side.
Oh,
speaking of
wait
references.
For it.
But
wait
not
for it.
This
it's
week.
Actually my favorite. All I can say is I'm glad to be in the room where it happens with you guys.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What a segue.
Hitting the fields right there.
Yeah, let's talk news because we are now. After week one, almost the Ravens are. It looks like last we checked, they're
currently
throwing a beat down on the Raiders.
Still playing.
Still playing.
Up that seven. Can... Up seven. We are recording during game 17-10.
Monday night.
Football. I have 4.5 points dun, minus dun, dun, dun. For the Ravens.
Dun, dun, okay. dun, dun, dun.
We all picked the Ravens, so this has little consequences
like,
on our.
But the Raiders are about to score. It looks like.
Uh oh.
So.
Uh oh.
We'll and keep you posted.
We got a ball game. Let's talk news.
We'll keep
Let's
you posted on a game that's already happened when you're listening
Hopefully
to
you're
this.
Hopefully you're listening to this and only watching the game as you listen to our podcast. So
that's
thank
right.
you again yeah. for that. I'm hoping you also are watching the second screening on ESPN2 of Peyton and Eli Manning
Ooh.
Calling the game,
yeah.
a.k.a. me wanting to watch and listen to football. Normally it's like, if Tony Romo's calling it, I'm in. Otherwise, I could watch it on mute and be okay.
Well, what about Come Drew on. Brees with it, all his luxurious hair now?
Yeah,
gosh, I need
lot.
Some of that in my life after shaving my head at age 27.
Oops.
Touchy
yeah.
subject. All right,
okay.
Speaking of touchy subjects, we're going to start with the big news of the week. And
take it away, Marshall. You go first.
There's for me, it's only one place I can go. And I talked last week, I'm not a big team guy, but I am a player guy. And my player is Aaron Rodgers. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to come on here and slander him like the last 10 hours I've listened to sports media coverage of just lambasting him for a poor performance. Listen, there's no other way to say it. He played poorly. Does this have to do with not going to voluntary camps? Well, he didn't do that last year and he was an MVP. Okay? Like was his weird lob it up as if it was a punt? That was intercepted 60 yards downfield and then returned 40. I don't know. Where's his running game? I was stunned. This was really just, they laid over. But I have the feeling that I feel like this Green Bay game was one of those any given Sundays.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel like, especially in the NFL, the NFL's so weird. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Cardinals could look great. Let me give you an example. The Cardinals could look great. Last week, 2 days ago, last night, whatever. Next week, they could play a game and get beat by 30, and I'm not going to, like, blink.
Yeah.
Because it's football. It's not Alabama playing East Carolina. These are professional players. So I am likely to say that I feel like the Aaron Rodgers game, I'm going to chalk that up to any given Sunday. What do you guys think about that?
So here, I got some thoughts. And mostly, I feel like when you have all of the shenanigans of the off season, and you have all of the questions of if he's even coming back, and that kind of drama in quotes, you know, who's to say what is the potential that had any kind of bearing on the game? I mean, it's got to be a question that's asked when you have all that drama going on in the off season, and then you come out the first game of the season and you do that. I mean, here's an interesting thing for you. His passing rating, or his passer rating, was 32.6.
Ridiculous.
If he threw every single ball into the dirt, you would get a 36.9. So he was worse.
Crazy.
You could play better than that.
Eli Manning talked tonight about how he had the similar game against the Ravens where he threw three picks and threw, you know, four complete passes for a similar thing that every pass into the dirt. You get more points as a QBR for throwing it in the dirt. You know, I look at it and I'm trying really hard not to get carried away. It's a small sample size. If I'm going to judge Aaron Rodgers, I'm not judging him based on this. If he goes back-to-back losses and loses to the Lions and plays that poorly, we'll have a different discussion in a week.
That's something that I'm trying to think about too. I mean, one game. I mean, for starters, you can't ignore the fact that the Saints just played lights out too.
They did.
And it's hard to kind of know whether or not is this something that's going on in the locker room? Is this because of the drama of the offseason? Or I'm more than likely to take your side and say, yeah, this is probably just one of those games where they came out and they played poorly. And, I mean, they're going up against the Lions. That's a great way for them to rebound next week.
Agreed.
And, Kyle, you're our resident Packers fan. I mean, what are you feeling about this whole thing?
Oh, man. What I was to say, I'm sorry. What are we talking about again, you guys? I mean, I'm just like not particularly interested in this topic.
You're really hoping this part moves over and we move on to your topic. But, I mean, the Packers, that's a legit concern, you know? Like,
absolutely.
We talked about this as, quote unquote, the last dance. Mm. I don't remember Michael Jordan putting up a 0-point game and losing by 40 to the Pistons game one.
Yeah. It's weird. It was really weird to watch to see the reigning MVP and, like, most agree, like one of the top five squads in the league just completely trip out of the gate and play one of the worst games I've seen them play in a long, long time. All around, the whole team, mm-hmm. just the defense couldn't do anything. The Saints are running. Jameis Winston put up five. Let's talk about that. Wait, is that a later thing? The same.
We might mention him, but
yeah,
it's worth mentioning multiple times. Five touchdowns as a guy that finally doesn't squint. Those are big.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean,
it's amazing.
It's the LASIK surgery.
We talked last week about
see now.
He is eating some W's right now, though.
It's insane. Woo! In the NFL history, no player has thrown for fewer passing yards and also gotten five touchdown passes in a game. So I say that just because last week all of us did a round table of weird Jameis Winston stats, and so there's another to add to the pile that he is accruing. But
it's also interesting, sorry to cut you off, is that, you know, I don't know if you heard Drew Brees' analysis of this game.
Oh, he said,
and I quote, "They finally have somebody who can throw the deep ball."
Yes.
That's amazing. Thank you for reaffirming everything I thought the last 365 days, Drew Brees.
Yeah, I know.
I think one kind of big thing is, regardless of whatever that game was, no one in that organization wants a repeat. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to do that again, because if he indeed wants to go to another team, he wants to, you know, get paid to do that. And no one's going to look at him who's going to take a guy who does that all season? Like, no one's going to do
it. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either.
Way.
There's
last
no way.
Last year against Tampa Bay in the regular season, he had a worse game. He actually had a worse game than that.
And was MVP.
And he was MVP for the league. He had a worse game than this on his record.
This could be the game we look back on when they win the Super Bowl and say, that's the moment where they got their head out of their butt.
Hey, the last team that was 38-3, right? Last team that lost 38-3 last year. Tampa Bay lost to
was the it the Saints? Saints?
Oh, the Saints. That's right.
Was that the first game or their second one?
Because
they got
it was earlier in the
first
year.
Game.
Yep. Very early in the year, but
that is true.
That's
true.
You know, that's my news as for Aaron Rodgers as a fan of players. But Kyle, what are you feeling like your news from the week was?
So one of the things that I was thinking a little bit about this week is, you know, we spent so much time talking in the offseason. And of course, this is natural. This is the thing you're going to do. Talking about the rookies, the rookie quarterbacks. Mm. All right. There's a class of five going into this year. You know, we've got Lance Jones, Fields, Lawrence, and Wilson, all with high expectations going to play this game. And everybody's watching, and we're talking about which of these five quarterbacks is going to perform. And you know what? We should probably be talking about last year's class a little bit more.
Did they have some games?
They played better. The sophomores, they performed. They contributed. The rookies, they're out there. They're
doing
their job.
Potential.
There were glimmers of hope. But none of those five did anything that we should be talking about. None of them. I mean, other than just like, it's fun to talk about the rookie quarterbacks and what they mean for the future. They're not relevant now. All right. It doesn't matter. Only one of them is really on a contending team. And I'm going to say that's Trey Lance, and he's not even starting. All the rest of them are not on relevant teams. And it's just going to be amusing to watch their careers. But the sophomores, now they matter. Justin Herbert, he played a heck of a game. And he was the offensive rookie of the year last year. And just it was one of those, wow, like was this a fluke thing? Can he continue this? Well, it looks like he is staying right on track where he was. And if that's going to be the case, watch the Chargers making a run for it. If Herbert plays like he did last year,
he played great.
They got a shot. They could make the playoffs this year. Yeah. That could be a big surprise.
Tough division.
And Burrow, he performed. And the Bengals pulled out a win, upset, which I called. And
glad we're talking about wins we have.
Hurts and Tua. did their thing. Even Jordan Love got out there and got Packers their only third down conversion. And that's really the sophomore class from last year.
The one that surprises me was Hurts going out there and just destroying Atlanta.
Yeah.
Out of all the games, that was the one I least expected to happen. Herbert and I expected to be good because he was great last year.
Totally.
And Tua, he was competent last year. He looked pretty comfortable in the game.
Enough to get that win by a point.
Probably the least impressive out of all of them. But Hurts, I guess I didn't know what to expect out of the Eagles this year.
Yeah.
But that was a lot.
It's an interesting thing to look at Joe Burrow. I know that they talked a lot in draft, this past draft. You got to get him a line, right? You know, he got injured his first year because nobody could block for him. Mm-hmm. And they went out and said, we're not getting a lineman. You know who we're getting?
A wide receiver.
Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. And he paid off. Game one, he paid off. Yep. He had an amazing game. And you can see that is it's just unquantifiable how valuable that is to have a number one wide receiver. I mean, that's the only reason Kirk Cousins was even in the game yesterday was because he had talent on the outside with Justin Jefferson and Thielen, but specifically with Jefferson.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed. I will also agree that, you know, I picked Dolphins over Pats, and I'll say that Mac Jones, he managed the game a little bit better than Tua did, you know.
Yeah.
If this fumble doesn't happen, mm-hmm. are we saying Tua had a good game? I'm a Tua fan. Like, if I had to pick a team, I guess I'd pick Dolphins, but...
Yeah, but the Pats got some pretty, like, that roughing the passing call was...
They had, yeah. We'll definitely get into that later, but it's interesting to, you know, this is the week where everybody says, Trevor Lawrence, you're a bust. Zach Wilson, you're a bust. Trey Lance, you can't even beat out Jimmy G, bust. Like, this is the week where I really enjoy getting out the film and watching some of these PTIs around the horns and seeing Woody Page call somebody a chump.
Yeah.
And then 16 weeks later when Trey Lance is leading the Niners after Jimmy G got injured into the playoffs doing well, he's like, I thought it was going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
We got to just chill out on the rookie talk, honestly. It's fun. They're just fun to watch, but they're learning the ropes right now.
The one rookie, though, I still am curious. I'm waiting for Fields. His time is going to be... I mean, we talked about that a little bit last week, how his time is coming. Yeah. I don't think Dalton's going to make it the whole year before he comes out there.
Red Rifle's running out of ammo.
I think you're right. I think the writing is absolutely on the wall. Fields is going to start at some point this season. There's a chance that Trey Lance might, too. We might see all five of these quarterbacks out there starting for teams that don't matter. I'll say it again. But yeah, that things could be interesting in Chicago. Maybe starting next season. Maybe when they get a new coach.
It's funny because you know the Jaguars get Urban Meyer and they get Trevor Lawrence. They get all these picks, and everyone's like, "Oh, this team's going to be great." And then you remember, there's a reason they got a new coach, and they were the number one draft pick because they're still bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like a reminder of like the Texans, a team that everyone was writing off at the beginning of the year, predicted to go 0-17, throttled them.
Totally.
Woo!
Have you guys seen some of the reports out of the Jags camp after preseason games? Urban was screaming at their team for losses during a preseason game, that the locker room was, just disheveled. I can only imagine what it's like after one regular season game. You know, he might be taking a knee on the 50-yard line.
These are guys,
having health concerns like when he was with Ohio State.
Yeah.
These are very guys. Soon. These are guys who've, I mean, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence aren't used to losing like this. And I think they're going to have to get used to it.
A little bit.
You need a coach who can keep that team together and talk about, you know, hey, we got to go for these little wins before we can get the big wins.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of big wins, I think you have a guy that broke your news that had a big win last night.
Oh. Let's hear it.
Oh, man. So Matt Stafford's debut was everything that I could have hoped for because it was everything that I knew he already was. Every Lions fan can tell you he has seen Stafford, or she, they have seen Stafford do exactly what he did to the Bears last night on countless occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been a question that this dude has talent. He has just always been surrounded by either incompetent coaching or not enough talent on either the defensive side, where he has to have a shootout, or the offensive weapons aren't there.
Right.
And he goes out there, the first play of his Rams career is a 50-yard bomb touchdown.
Love it.
Oh, it was amazing. And then he does it again in the second half.
Mm.
It was just on full display of what everyone already knew about Matt Stafford. And now everyone finally gets to see, like, hey, welcome to the party. This dude's for real, and he always has been for real.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers don't lie for him. You know, there's definitely the conversation of, is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Fame quarterback? And I feel like this is one of those make it or break it years for him in regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I take a team that's, they don't have a Calvin Johnson on their team, but they got a productive running game. You know, it's definitely a team that I look at and say Stafford popped out of his shell yesterday.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and they have between Cooper Kupp and I think it's Cooks, they were the best yards after catch last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were like 1-3.
Yeah.
Which I didn't actually realize until I was looking at those stats. And I was like, wow. And that's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, especially with Sean McVay, I mean, we can have a whole conversation about Sean McVay and, you know, why he was so angry at Goff and all that jazz. But I think him and Stafford are gelling well. Yeah. And I think that offense is going to be electrifying.
Yeah. You know, we want to introduce you guys to a topic that we have called, who do you have the hots for? Turn the temperature up. Put
here
the AC
we go.
Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my team, we just finished talking about them. The Rams. A little ASMR there for you.
The Rams.
Oh, the Rams.
Los Angeles.
I got to say, are they the new greatest show on turf? I don't mean to be disrespectful to the almighty Steve McNair, rest in peace, or Isaac Bruce, or Torrey Holt, or Marshawn Faulk. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but
his name was Marshall. His name was your
it's
name.
It's a heck of a name.
That's right.
Heck of a name. That's always what I tell people. It's a heck of a name. But they have a bend or break defense. Or bend but don't break defense,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They let in some running yards yesterday. Montgomery had a day, you know, playing against them. He had a good job. He did a good job. But when they got red zone, it's field goal or pick. You know, it's interesting. I saw last night, I don't know if it's because they're playing the Rams, but I saw classic form Jalen Ramsey. The Jalen Ramsey who shuts down a third of the football field.
Mm-hmm.
He was dynamic. You know, he said that, I was listening to the telecast, they were talking about, he likes this defense so much because he moves around.
Yeah.
He was bored playing defense where he was before.
He was
bored. That's what Deion Sanders said. People don't say that about their job in the NFL. I was bored.
Yeah.
you know, keeping my head on a swivel so I don't get killed by somebody trying to block me. I was bored.
He was all over the place last night.
He played slot. He played wide out corner. He switched corners. He was all over the place. He was making, you know, tackles for losses as a cornerback. Those are huge. And we talked about it earlier, your big news about Stafford. I think Stafford could be the key to unlocking the Rams to be a top-tier team. Mm-hmm. They have a skill. They have a good skill position, not at wide out and tight end. And they got a running back that can work. You ask any Detroit Lions fan, they always would say, man, just what would we do if Stafford had a running game, man?
Oh, gosh.
What will we do? There's been 65 running backs the last 8 years.
Do you want to know what their last 1,000-yard rusher was?
Reggie Bush. I was going to say Barry Sanders.
Reggie Bush in 14.
That's crazy. I mean, I just think the potential for the... Now, don't get me started on how tough this conference is. If there's a possibility to get all four of these teams into the playoffs, I'm for it. I'll just watch a four-team Super Bowl of these two,
Well,
they added more playoff slots, so it's
possible. I don't know if it's mathematically possible, but the Rams are definitely the team that I'm hot for.
I do have a couple questions about the Rams, though, because you're talking about their running game, but they really didn't run the ball well until, like, fourth quarter, though. Mm. It was late in the game when they finally got it clicking.
I just feel like I think that that's a type of team that you can get, when you can get a 6 yard run here and there, that sets up your play action so much that I'm not saying they need to have, you know, Marshall Faulk as their running back, but I'm saying they need a guy who's capable and competent in there. And I think they got that. So
he looked good. I mean, he got some yards there.
Sure. Right.
That's definitely the team for me this week.
It's not Todd Gurley in his prime.
Yeah. But I'm also not looking for Reggie Bush, you know, in 2014. I'm looking for the middle of the row, a running game that I could feel like I could get 2 yards on a third and one. Like, I feel like I could trust that. I'm not dying for them to throw a shotgun pass like every single time on a third and one.
I mean, you talk about greatest show on turf. I mean, they used the pass to set up the run. That's what I have a feeling they're going to do that again.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, the Bears don't have the worst defensive line in the league either. So, you know, it's something to keep an eye on as the games progress. You know, can they have a balanced offense? As far as who do I have the hots for? Now that you ask, there's a team that I think is smoking.
Oh yeah,
I say I got a boner for Arizona.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
That's Cardinals are out there saying, "What about us, you guys? In that the best division in football?" There's a little bird quietly chirping, and I think it's time that we listened. The Cardinals just came out. I mean, they've not been a part of the conversation as much as I think they should be. They are making a statement in week one. Hey, enough about the Rams and Niners and Seahawks. We're here too, and we came to play. Murray is amazing. His highlight reel is really, I mean, if you've only got 15 minutes to watch football on the weekend, really just good. Watch the Murray highlight reel. It's the most entertaining thing you're going to see, hands down, over the course of the football weekend. That defense is actually for real. You could watch Tannehill's jersey turn green as the game progressed, just because he spent so much of being pounded into the ground. He was sacked so many times by the Cardinals defense. I mean, nobody was talking about the Cardinals defense. It's all question marks. Well, they got some statement to make here. I think Murray had the most impressive showing, I think, of really any player across the league in week one, if it were like a week one MVP kind of conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to see where this team goes. I'm pretty excited about them.
Yeah, they played really well.
Yeah. Really? Hopkins is like all over the place. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, the more you talk about Kyler Murray, I watched that highlight reel. And it was amazing. He was all over the place. And then you forget, well, he's got Hopkins with him. And then you got J.J. Watt on the other side of the ball.
Yep.
They could very well be for real.
Yeah. And this is against the Titans team. Yeah. It was like a really strong team last year. And it came in with higher expectations this year.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that score by the end of the game.
Yeah, I think Chandler Jones solidified his spot is probably the best Jones.
Yeah,
he was a monster.
So maybe the best beast. Jones over John Bones Jones. I don't know if you guys are UFC fans, but it's a scary man too. And I think, you know, Chandler Jones let off the gas. He could have kept being in there and getting more than that. Yeah. He had 3 sacks in the first quarter.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill is like gonna have nightmares about that guy now.
That's one of those games though that I also look at and say, is that football being football? You know, is that just a any given Sunday kind of thing? I don't know. Time will tell. With
that, that's why it's so hot.
That is. That's why they played so well.
I mean, there was some weird stuff. There's some missed kicks, a point after, and a field goal, and maybe another field goal. I don't remember, but. It's some weird stuff, but really, I mean, some of those Cardinal players just like played well. You mentioned Jones, you know, Murray just putting on a show, just running all over the field. Nobody can touch him.
Yep.
Throwing impressive. I mean, there was the one pick, but the rest were just some impressive throws for that little guy.
Yeah,
he looks like a small guy out there.
He is. And to think that they were going to play Rosen over him. That's crazy.
Isn't
in the league.
I was going to say,
I think he played for about 4 or 5 teams. Since being traded.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that the Cardinals were saying their prayers. You know, we're all religious men. Ian, speaking of religion, who were you feeling hot for this week?
Oh, so this is a team. This is a team. You know, they got a little guy there. And, you know, he had a little bit of surgery. And I look into his, you know, his beautiful eyes.
Joe Burrow?
No.
Different kind of surgery.
Jameis. That man.
New Orleans.
The Saints.
Who dat?
Oh, man. That team looked like they didn't miss a beat between going from Breeze to Winston. Incredible. I mean, I think there was a lot of people questioning whether or not Taysom Hill or Winston, which one was going to be better. Obviously, they still used.
That looks like a silly conversation.
I know
now.
It does. It looks ridiculous. They used Taysom in the same way that they were using him with Breeze.
Right.
But, yeah. That Saints team looks legit. I mean, they dominated the Packers. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about like what the Packers are doing. As part of that conversation's got to be, well, what about the Saints? I mean, they are just a part of that conversation there. That defense was all over them. I mean, Rodgers never had a chance to breathe. No wonder his passing rating was so bad.
Yeah.
Because he had to get rid of it.
There was a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
And nobody open.
Yeah,
he aged very quickly in that game. I don't know if you saw the picture of him in the presser. It's hard to think Tom Brady's 7 years older than that guy. I mean, wow. Yeah. I definitely felt like the Saints brought it.
Yeah, and not only did Winston look great, but Alvin Kamara just looked like the Alvin Kamara that he has always been. Yeah. He looked
was loving it.
Yeah, he was all over the field. I think that team... I think the Bucs are going to have their work cut out for them if they want to keep that division in their name, because I think the Saints are going to have their number again this year.
That'll make things very interesting. And
they definitely, just as a good stat for you here, they have more stats in the last 360 or more wins in the last 365 days in Jacksonville than the Jaguars do. So that's a great stat for you right there. Thank you, Hurricane. Thoughts and prayers for all affected.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to listener questions. We've got hot takes just pouring in. These are steamy and spicy.
Hot.
Yeah, be careful. Don't
Buffalo
burn yourself.
Buffalo Wild Wings hot.
Here they come. We've got a few. I'll start with what I've got in front of me. My friend Adam Silver at Hey Adam Silver on Twitter.
Hashtag the commish.
Yeah, what a name.
I know. He said about the Niners. That's his team. The commish's hot take. Number one, Trey Lance throwing his first touchdown of the game. For the 49ers season was lovely.
It was not. I didn't like it.
As a Lions fan right there.
It's number two, need to work out cornerback situation with Verrett's possible ACL injury. This is something the Niners need to figure out. Maybe Richard Sherman takes that role. Sorry, Richard, I just checked. Sherman is actually an unsigned free agent at this time.
He is, but I did see that the Niners were not opposed to bringing him back.
That could be interesting.
Yes.
And maybe that's what Adam's referring to. And number three, this is the real take that Shanahan went to backups too soon. What do you think about that? Was it the backups to blame for the Lions?
Considering
almost
how
back?
Quick that game got out of their control. I mean, they went from 41-17 in 2 minutes. It was crazy. That game got crazy really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no business for the Lions with a minute 30 to be in that game. They had no business being involved in that game.
Yeah, that's if that happening seems like a major fail on the part of the leading team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I was a Niners fan and I saw my team collapse, and if they lost that game, I'd have been like, what happened? That is unforgivable. It would absolutely be.
Yeah. True, true. Okay, well, thank you, Adam Silver, for your takes. We're going to talk about the Niners regularly. If you keep asking us to do it.
Is he a Niners fan?
He's a big Niners fan.
I know, you're still taking the under on that. Okay,
okay. Well,
they looked good.
They did look good. They're a relevant team.
That was against the Lions, and they were kind of fresh, and they're trying to figure themselves out. But
that's true.
And our next question comes from Elliot Asateo at Childish Filipino, which great name, by the way. Which of these scenarios will likely transpire throughout the season? Jordan Love starts over Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers gets traded. Rodgers become Rodgers, and Packers win the division. Of those three, which one is most likely?
It's the least out of them all. It's Rodgers becomes Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think that's the most likely one. But if you want to get real spicy, I would love to see him gone sooner than later.
This is not a strong division right now.
No.
It is really weak.
Everyone's 0-1. Somehow the Packers are still in first place.
This is the only division where everybody lost. All four teams lost.
Man, that's embarrassing.
I know. It's terrible. This is
but you're telling me it's a weak division. The Lions have a chance?
I'm saying there's a chance.
If I was a gambling person on this, I would definitely take the latter of Rodgers becoming Rodgers of old. If I was to spice some things up, I'd like to see Rodgers get traded. And that is simply from a perspective of somebody who would root for that team. He's going to be gone at the end of the season. Let's call a spade a spade. He's gone. He can win a Super Bowl. He's gone. I don't care if he throws four picks every game. If I'm a team, I am cutting this Kirk Cousins, and I'm going all in on him. Okay? So, to me, I'd want to get something out of him. You know, they're not going to get anything out of him at the end of this year, so.
Why wouldn't they at the end of the year as opposed to before the trade deadline?
Because
there's
a
trade deadline.
I think it depends on what their record is.
I also think it depends on the conversation that they had behind closed doors that none of us are, aware of as to what his contract negotiations were and what happened.
Yeah.
So to me, I know that's not going to happen based on probably those closed door conversations that we don't have access to, but that's just definitely a part that I looked at for sure and thought, think of the NBA. I always compare the NFL as starting to become more NBA. NBA teams get money off of their players on the way out. So I think it could be wise for them. I don't know. That's just me. I know you don't like to hear that as a Packers fan going for the division, still in first place, 0-1. But that's definitely a scenario that could happen. I think that's worth asking, Elliot. And thank you for that question. Our next question comes from my brother, Jamie, at Jamie Hesla. Hot take of the week. We talked about it earlier. Just give me an immediate yes or no on this. Don't overthink it. MVP, Kyler Murray.
No.
I'm in.
Let's do it. I love the division.
No. Let's go.
No way. That's only because I'm a little partial to Stafford taking that pick right now. But
let's see.
Who played better than this weekend? Kyler Murray.
Kyler.
Kyler.
Kyler played against a significantly better team.
You know what? That's not the point.
Yeah. You know what the point was? Agreeing with Ian.
That's right.
Jamie, thank you for your question and or your hot take. And our final hot take comes from a good friend of mine, at Justin Mattson, big Vikings fan, expecting a child again soon. Congratulations on that. His not-so-hot take, Kirk Cousins on paper is a top 10 quarterback, but on field, a bottom 10 quarterback. He elevates no one's game. And let me tell you, as someone reading the hot take, I'm going to get my first take out there real quick. Get my Skip Bayless hat on.
Okay, here we go.
Whoosh. You're right.
It's like, we all know how this is going to go.
Listen, if no one watched that game, if you did not watch that game and pulled up that box score, you'd say, oh my gosh, Kirk Cousins he played great. We got free football. Yeah, no, he was awful in that game. He played terrible.
Yeah.
And to me, as somebody who doesn't like Kirk Cousins, I'm hoping this becomes a theme. And Justin also, after his hot takes, texted me and said, if you could also say the Vikings suck, I would appreciate it. Listen, it might become a weekly staple.
That's just a given.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't really that particularly good last year. And Cousins is that weird new Cousins is the new Dalton line to me.
I like that the line is changing after week
it's
one.
It's weird that like it's all you could almost anything you say about Cousins is true.
Yeah.
Like he's great. Right. He's terrible. It's all true.
He's won more playoff games than Matt Stafford.
Now here's the big hot take from at Justin Matson. Vikings finish 4-13. Kirk Cousins is traded to some team for a 6th-round pick in the offseason. They need a quarterback who is willing to throw the ball away and stop taking so many dang sacks for 12-yard losses. I love the take, Justin.
Okay.
And listen, it's true. We talked last week about Kirk Cousins and how the Vikings have bought in on him as a player and saying, you know what? I don't think we can do better than this. I don't think we're going to attract a free agent to come to Minnesota that is a name Brett Favre. And I also don't, they must feel like they're not good at drafting because they would have done this by now. They would have got somebody in the holster besides, who is it, Mond back there? I mean, are you kidding me? Like, that's where I look at and say, I'm 1,000% with you, Justin.
I mean, there is a real possibility Mond just midway through the season, if they're not showing any progress with Cousins, just takes over. I wouldn't be surprised by that, by the way.
But money talks. Money talks in the NFL. Excluding Taysom Hill, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks making a lot of money that aren't playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, yeah. Jamie actually said another thing. Jamie also said that he's looking to join the Bengals bandwagon and make the playoffs with a healthy Joey touchdown. So thank you for that, Jamie. Yeah.
Speaking of Bengals,
division though,
we got free football yesterday. They are of the last 10 ties, the Bengals are 4 of them. That's a great stat right there.
Bizarre.
I love a good tie in
that.
That's
just weird.
We were talking about who is going to be the 500 team. We had a shot at it yesterday to get a glimpse of. Yep, we're still going to find a 500 team. And I think we're going to have that by the end of the year.
Yeah, we might. Okay, let's see. That's all the listener feedback that we've got so far. It is time now, my friends, to dive in to our actual picks.
I did not do very well.
Disappointing week for Ian. Slow start.
And this is what I get for taking the Lions. There's a little bit of homerism got me a little hard here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, before we get to our picks, if you have a hot take for us, we're obviously reaching out to some people that we know that are listeners to our pod. But, you know, feel free to tweet us at point after NFL. That's at point after NFL. And just send us a tweet. Send us your hot take. Send us a question. We'll throw it on here, and I will definitely tag you in it to make sure that you're listening to it. So for our picks, Kyle, 10-6, our leader right now in the clubhouse for the stakes.
Hashtag
we don't know what the stakes are officially.
I still think a steak.
Second place, 9-7, yours truly, Marshall. And Ian, T's and P's.
That's right. But it's a long season, boys.
It is.
17 games, 17 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the important things for us is every week we have to refocus. You know, we got to get ready. I always, you know, tell the players that I'm coaching, like, you have the 24-hour rule, all right? We had a good week, Kyle. Sorry, Ian. We had a good week. We can celebrate it. We got 24 hours to celebrate this, and then we got to snap back. It's game time.
Here we go.
And I'm ready for my anti-red zone game of the week.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the red zone. Watch all my games on there. What game will I turn the red zone off?
Tell us.
To watch? For me, it's Cowboys Chargers.
Okay.
I think a big thing is we're getting I play for the Cowboys. I love that. The almighty we. I only play for Notre Dame, all right?
Yeah.
The Cowboys get Zach Martin back. That's huge. And to me, can Zach and company bounce back from a tough loss
a tough loss to the Super Bowl winners that brought back their whole team. To me, this is going to be too high. I don't know what I did there. Too high scoring offenses.
I'm too high.
And, you know, the new look Chargers that can win a game late. This is something I like to watch. You know, Phillip Rivers came out of the womb down six with the ball on his own 20 with 50 seconds left. Justin Herbert yesterday got the ball with 6 minutes left to win it with the lead, and they never touched the ball again. That's nothing that ever has happened to a Chargers team ever. I mean, I'm looking forward to this game, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Dak plays because he had an just outstanding game.
Yeah, and I got to say,
it's true.
That's true.
I'm not a big Cowboys fan. In fact,
America's team.
No, no. I just puke at that thought. But I got to say, I think I've been a little cold on Dak for a lot of reasons. He came in, he was hot with Elliott his first year, and then when Romo was coming back, and then Romo never got the ball ever again after his injury. I was always a little salty about that because I was thinking, you know, I think the Cowboys that year could have done better with Romo at the end there. And I never really was convinced Dak himself was actually that good. I always thought he was a product of that O-line that first year, which was the best O-line his first year.
Amazing.
And that
as an offensive lineman, I agree. Know.
And his running game with Elliott that year too. I thought they did more work for him. And that, I think, helped him to become better. I think he really took advantage of that. But something that I noticed last year was when Dak was injured and he was gone, that Cowboys team looked like they died. And I never realized how important he was just for their morale. And he played crazy good.
He's good. Yeah. He's good.
He was a lot better than I gave him credit for. So he's got a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
Cooper, Gallup, Lamb, Elliott.
Even defensively. Yeah, I mean, Jalen Smith and Micah Parsons as linebackers. I would build my life around them as a defense. If I had two players like that, the new mold of what NFL, you want to throw these 6'5 tight ends out there that are like NBA power forwards that can run as tight ends. We're going to throw out linebackers like Micah Parsons and Jalen Smith who are just freaks of nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. I mean, that's a team. I'm like I said, anti-red zone game of the week for me. Cowboys, Chargers, not even close.
Okay. Moving on to non-Cowboys games. my anti-red zone game of the week that I'm actually interested in. I want to see what happens Washington versus the New York Giants.
I love gutter bowls.
Yeah. Hey, that's almost.
Did you guys hear
not right.
what happened at Washington Stadium?
What?
Oh, it's an absolute. This is an antithesis. For those of you out there with the bingo board of me saying antithesis, please mark that. This is the antithesis of what Snyder owning the racial slurs has been.
Oh, my
Go
gosh.
Ahead, Ian.
So they, in their stadium, the first time they're allowed to have a full packed stadium, a pipe burst that was to their sewer line and fans got sprayed with
poop.
Poop. Yeah.
What?
It's disgusting.
Poop and pee all over these fans. God. Covered in air. That is an antithesis of what Daniel Snyder owning this Washington football team is. So go ahead. Tell us how this is interesting, Kyle. We're doing a great job of not cutting you off like we talked about behind the scenes.
That's so gross. It's so gross. Oh. Okay, Washington versus the New York Giants. I think when I'm looking at the lineup for all the games this coming weekend, this is actually a matchup that matters for these division rivals. There aren't that many division matchups in this coming week, but the NFC East is, I think, there for the taking. If any of these four poor teams care to step up and claim it, you know, we just talked about that team from Texas, but. You know, I'm not sure that they've figured everything out, and they have to stay healthy and they have to do the work. But there's a couple other teams that don't want to be left out so early. Both of these two teams have talented rosters, problems particularly at the most important position. But you know, it remains to be seen how they manage that. This is an opportunity for both teams to restart their season, shows who they really are. I want to see what happens.
Definitely with no Fitzmagic, they're out 6 to 8 weeks. No Fitzmagic. You're looking at Mr. Heinicke, the man who was on the top of the totem pole of quarterbacks Tom Brady slayed last year on the way to his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So definitely, I don't know if I'm aligned with you on this, but I mean, to each their own is what I would look. Ian, how about you for your anti-game or anti-red zone game of the week?
I am taking the Seahawks versus the Titans. I think this is a game where the Titans try to bounce back on. Mm-hmm. They looked very just like they didn't even want to show up against the Cardinals.
Very Packers-esque.
Yeah, very. I still think Derrick Henry's...
They got a touchdown, at least.
Yeah. I still think Derrick Henry's got it in him. So I'm excited to see when he can finally burst through. And Russell Wilson had a game. And I think this is a game that could potentially really get out of hand really quick for both teams if they're not careful enough. Mm. So I think it could be fun because these are two good teams from last year that I thought were going to be good again this year. Hey. So
yeah, it's fun. Two teams that would be very, very upset to not be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's when you start getting those graphics out of teams that are 0-2. Do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, and that's one of my favorites. But this is one of those years where throw all the metrics out. We've never had a 17-game season, all right? We don't know what the 0-2s are. And if you're a gambler like me, take the over on every bet that you can ever have. I don't think they have adjusted to a 17-game season. But, you know, we talked about Henry being the key to that game for sure. Speaking of keys, we're going to turn to our locks of the week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Put it in.
Lock it in, man.
My lock for the week, it's...
Don't do it.
It's hard. It's tough.
Don't say it.
It's not
Packers over Lions. Listen, the last time the Packers lost back-to-back games was in 2018. Okay? The Lions obviously had a great fourth quarter. Good job. You sucked for three quarters.
Yeah, they were bad. They were awful.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Like, we were having a great text exchange between the three of us of seeing the wild ups and downs of, you know, Ian's daughter finally watching Ian watch a football game of the Lions.
Oh, man.
And I just couldn't imagine the PTSD that's in that household right now. I'll be billing you later as a therapist in 14 years.
Man. Poor child. Child abuse.
She got a little teary-eyed when I got a little too excited.
Well,
when was that?
Yeah, when you got more excited when they were finally down 8.
Oh, man. I know. They couldn't even finish that off.
Yeah. I definitely look at the Packers as a team that can bounce back. And like I said, I don't think that those fourth quarter Lions are the Lions. I think that that's an aberration. So,
yeah.
That's my lock for the week. Kyle, how about yourself?
I think that the Niners, they have pieces to spare. Eagles have pieces of flair. I don't see the 2018 world champs taking down the 2020 almost world champs at this point. Niners are going to stomp the Eagles. Done.
Wow. That could be a fun game, though. They both played pretty well.
Get your wing clippers out. Niners are coming for some wings.
The Niners matter. The Eagles don't.
Speaking of wings, flats or drums?
Yeah.
What are you guys?
Traditional.
Yeah.
Traditional.
Flats so rule. Ian, how about yourself for lock of the week?
I got to go with the Rams. And I think it's going to be a closer game against than what we think. I think Indy's still got some pieces there, but I think the Rams are going to decimate the Colts. I don't think it's going to be much. I think you're going to see a repeat. I think they're going to be an electrifying on offense. I actually think they're going to. The defense is going to really just tear Wentz apart. I don't think Wentz is very good.
I was really impressed with Seattle's performance. I feel like they have a better defense than what I thought last year. Last year, their team was laughable at defense. Mm-hmm. They had a defensive end that was injured in the first game of the year last year, first-round pick. It's almost like they have two first-round picks this year. That's kind of how I look at it. And he was getting some pressure in there. I just saw a great team, but, man, I will be impressed if those Colts and that Colts has a great defense. So I'm not down Russ, but I'll be very impressed if Carr and company are taken over by Seattle.
You mean the Rams?
The Rams. I'm sorry.
Played Seattle.
Seattle on the mind.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, Sierra.
So we've got our locks. Those are our shoe-in picks. We get bonus points if we get those right, but we lose extra points if we get wrong on our locks.
Which is where I got hurt.
You got a little bit screwed. Because you you picked, I think, Green Bay as a shoe-in.
I think I picked Green Bay as a lock. I thought they were going to be way better than what that was.
Woof.
I thought that was a safe pick.
It felt like a safe pick.
Yeah.
Who would take Winston over Rodgers? Who?
I know.
What year is it?
I don't know. But for me, I look at the next part as our upset of the week. Speaking of feasting and not looking like your old self, Ezekiel Elliott. How about him, huh?
Oh, feed the guy.
America's team. I got the Cowboys over the Chargers. I got to say, with Zach Martin back, I think that's a huge part to it. I think that he's the leader of their offensive line, and he's the communicator up front. And they had a lot of – early in that game, they had a lot of miscues against Tampa in terms of lineman coverages. And I can definitely see them taking a step forward and taking out the Chargers.
I was actually surprised to see that because – I didn't realize the Cowboys weren't favored to win that.
Yep, not favored to win that.
What's the betting line on that one, actually?
I'll pull that up right now.
Okay? I was going to say, you have all the guys to know this.
Yeah.
Kyle, go ahead with your upset pick of the week.
I want to believe in Baltimore. I think they've figured some stuff out. I think they're going to surprise some people. And I'm going on record saying that they're going to upset Kansas City and hand Patrick Mahomes his first ever September loss this coming week. Now, you know what this means for you, Ian. Prepare yourself, because Ian picked the Chiefs to be upset last week. I'm picking the Chiefs to be upset this week.
No, that was Marshall.
I mean, I said Marshall. Shout out to the Browns. I meant Marshall. Yeah, he picked a Chiefs upset. Next week, it's your turn. So I'd say this week.
Who are they playing next week?
The Ravens will upset the Chiefs and stun the nation.
It might please you to know this. The Ravens are currently in a tie game with the Raiders.
The Raiders who beat the Chiefs last year in the regular season.
For those of you that are listening to the podcast while watching that game, thank you again. Thoughts and prayers.
You're amazing.
I definitely looked up the upset, and just for the sake of it, Dallas -2.5 points.
Wow.
Okay.
So thank you for the upset. Ian, how about your upset pick of the week?
I'm going to the bad teams because I'm thinking, you know, you got some bad teams playing against each other. That is a real crapshoot. I think you can have a true any given Sunday moment. And I'm taking the Giants over Washington football
team. There you
go. I think
got their starting quarterback at least, and Saquon Barkley.
They have Saquon Barkley, and
who was awful week one.
He didn't do anything. But you want to know who was good? Was Galladay. Galladay had some insane catches.
He had a snatch.
Some crazy good catches. Now, granted, Daniel Jones did not look particularly good in that game. But
unlike how he usually looks.
Yeah, it's fair.
Danny Nickel, as I like to call him.
But I think that, you know, hey, if I'm going to pick an upset here, I'm going to go with some bad teams.
Go for it. I love
lucky.
It.
I respect a pick-em pick.
I love it. Ian and I are... Well, I guess I'm bold with my upset pick. At least I'll say that.
That's bold.
Yeah, come on.
The Giants are terrible.
Hey, Cowboys are 0-1. Chargers 1-0. Look at the records, dude. Survivor pick of the week is where we pick one team, and if they win, we can no longer pick them as our winner for the rest of the year. If you lose, you are out. No more picks for you in the Survivor pool.
What are there rules to this game that I don't know about?
A Survivor pool.
Not the
pool.
Way we're
come on
it though.
So the way that we picked it is last week we all had Survivor picks, of which
I won
Kyle
mine.
Jacksonville gone. Kyle would be dead from the Survivor pool, but we're not gonna do that. We're gonna let this be a reoccurring theme every week. So no longer can Kyle pick Jacksonville.
Not that he would want to.
Exactly. Ian picking the Chargers, great win for you. And myself picking the one and only Seattle Seahawks. Thank you, Russell Wilson.
There we go.
Now to our week two Survivor pool picks. I'm going with my boy, Billy B.
Your boy.
Belichick, get your sweatshirts out.
You guys
out,
sound
right?
Like your buds.
Listen, get your sweatshirts out. Put a little hole in them. Stick your gut out, because we're talking about a guy that's 19-5 against rookie quarterbacks. And listen, I love the lazy verbiage that anybody that covers the NFL uses.
Bill Belichick, he'll take your best thing away. You know, you have Randy Marsh.
Randy Moss gone. You have Marshall Faulk? Marshall Faulk gone. You have Terrell Owens? He's not even on the team anymore? Gone. I love that lazy, lazy commentary. But Bill Belichick definitely takes away your best thing. So that's why I'm going with Patriots over the NYJJETS. Jets, Jets, Jets.
I love it. What is that? What is the significance of that record? Which coaches out there have losing records against rookie quarterbacks? Rookie quarterbacks are bad.
He's 13-0 all time at home against rookie quarterbacks.
Okay, for as much as you say rookie, good, but like probably every coach has a winning record against rookie quarterbacks.
This is
not many coaches
stat.
Have been around as long as Bill Belichick have to be 19-5.
That's true.
This
that's
feels. True. Like I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. But. We need to do research and come back with a definitive answer of who has the worst record against rookie coaches.
Probably Matt Patricia. You played a few of them.
Oh gosh, it was the first game against Sam Darnold. I don't want to go there. Why did you do this? Why did you bring him up?
And
he
we're
who
back.
Must not be named.
But you know what? From now on, we will not say Matt Patricia's name starting right now. We will just say he who shall not be named. So for those of you listening, diehards, he who shall not be named will be a reoccurring theme in this podcast.
The bad man can't come back.
Let the bad man in the house. Kyle, how about yourself? Let's see if you could redeem yourself this week.
Crud.
Who is your survivor pick of the week?
I'm going original here with the Patriots.
Oh, you guys copycat. Are so clever.
Well, you didn't put your picks into the spreadsheet, man, so I didn't know you picked the Patriots.
The man that started our word sheet, you know, doesn't look at all the...
I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry. I want to say the Patriots legitimately have a shot. There is a glimmer there for them to get a wild card playoff appearance this year. And they're working up what I think is a pretty decent system. I think that they'll put the Jets in their place. This is a can't miss this kind of situation.
All right, I'm changing my pick to Cincinnati. I'm doing it right on the spot. We're not having two people with the same pick. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, Chase, touchdown guaranteed over the Bears. Put your money on it.
Bengals over the Bears. Okay.
That seems fair.
Let's do it. Tigers and Bears. Where are the Lions?
Well, I'm not taking a Lion, so, but I'm taking Denver over the Jags. I think Steady Teddy is going to come out and just be, you know, supreme. Denver looked good. They did not look that bad, and I was pretty impressed with them.
Yep.
And you know, the Jaguars looked awful. Trevor Lawrence didn't look very good. Now, granted, you know, who's to say first game? He could figure it out, but.
What if, I mean, how many teams get like two number one draft picks in a row? How often?
Cleveland Cavaliers. So much so they've had about four in like 6 years.
You think the
like.
Jags could do it? You think they could like get the number one pick to get Trevor Lawrence?
If you do, you
they,
trade
I mean,
out.
Might,
if you do,
might.
You trade out.
They
of
just
they could, them. They could get his successor
to lose
and put him behind Trevor Lawrence.
To lose
for the next coach after Urban, right? He's gonna be on a stress leave at week 9.
Yeah.
To lose, not even just to lose. I mean, to be embarrassed by probably the most dysfunctional team in football.
Definitely a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, for sure. That can't be good. For their morale.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that's going to, you know, continue to help them.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm going to go against the Jags early while they're still kind of in that mode of like, we're trying to figure stuff out.
I definitely will be interested to see how the Denver offense goes without Jerry Jeudy injured with his ankle during the game. But I do like the pick. It's a safe pick. That's what survivor pools can be. They can be sketchy. They can be, you know, safe. I respect the pick. For those of you out there, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll have the edited version of Ian dropping his microphone out of this podcast. But for those of you out there, please tweet us at Point After NFL on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And please review our show.
Oh,
send
it
to your friends.
Review thing. Yeah, that's nice.
We need our reviews. We're only accepting 5-star
reviews.
And
if you guys, if you have suggestions of what the stakes should be, please. Let us know.
That's true. We haven't actually decided what's on the line here for the
winner.
I'm putting a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into picking these games. I'm doing my research and everything, and I'm putting an effort. And I want to know what I'm getting. when I eventually win this thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing the best so far. It's paying off.
I mean,
how does that feel to you guys? I don't even know anything about sports. And
Kyle wasn't even watching most of the games yesterday.
You say that. I think you know more than you let on. You probably spent all night just waiting like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do my research. I'm going to pick this guy. He's going to be great.
My favorite aspect of Kyle is he hypes us all up so that we can feel good. So he goes one point better than us in the games.
So
he's like, guys, crush you know this stuff.
You're so smart.
Showed up. I was at my niece's birthday party yesterday while you guys were texting about the games, and I had one in the background that was flickering on and off between me and five screaming children.
Yeah,
can't relate to that. But for those of you listeners out there, please send us some information of anything you'd like for us to talk about.
That's it.
Five stars, subscribe. Rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Yeah. Come back to us. Send us something.
Share with your friends.
At Point After NFL. Send us a tweet. And I can't wait to hear from you next week.
Your friends might not actually know that this podcast exists. So you're doing them a favor.
They don't?
Yeah. Spread the word.
I can't believe that.
Send
the
link.
The news. The good news. The glorious news. Point After is live. And it's football season, folks. Let's go.
It is.